Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rakari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. That's right. We're already talking about next year. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
Everyone, it's episode 53 of Star Wars and Scotch, and Tim and I had the honor of getting to interview Mark Thompson for this episode. I'm really excited for you all to hear it. What a great conversation with someone that truly loves Star Wars. Lots of talk about voice acting as well. We're going to do that in just a second, but first, make sure you head over to kingscoastcoffee.com. There is a whole new line of roasts. Well, the roasts are the same, but everything looks different. It got a facelift, an upgrade. So go over to kingscoastcoffee.com. Check everything out. Tons of new stuff. But without further ado, here's me, Tim, and the wonderful Mark Thompson. All right, everyone. We have Mark Thompson. Can I say the voice of Star Wars? Am I allowed to say that?
I appreciate it. I don't know if that was true, but I appreciate it.
To me and Tim, you are the voice of Star Wars. If you don't know who Mark is, I doubt that you must have stumbled on this show accidentally or something.
Hi, welcome to Star Wars.
but Mark is the voice of so many novels in the Star Wars universe, both canon and non-canon, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep, yeah, that's right.
So not that canon means a ton to folks that are diehards, but, you know, we do have to stick to what's happening right now in Star Wars as well, which we'll get to because there's a lot of cool stuff happening right now in Star Wars. But yeah, we're going to talk to Mark. When we booked this interview, we were so happy when we got a response. We were like, oh my gosh, we're going to talk to Mark. We're going to get to really discuss all of the books he's working on. Tim has had a larger sampling because he's been doing audiobooks for longer. I was a reader, but as we got more busy with life and our companies and whatnot, Tim was like, try the audiobooks. You'll enjoy it. I promise.
And he's like, where do I start? And I was like, Kevin, you need to start with Aftermath.
And that's where I started.
That's where I started. And I was like, it might be a little rough in some parts. The stories might drag on for a bit, but the characters you meet are really fun. And it explains so much between, mm-hmm. the first few months of The Fall of the Empire, which is really cool. So I was like, you need to listen to that because it was so good.
Yeah.
So one of the first things we ask everyone who comes on the show, and this is probably my favorite part, is I love to know, where did you start as a fan? Because you're not just the person that reads the books. You are a fan at heart, too. I remember seeing you on stage at Celebration a few years back and being like, who's this guy? And then Tim's like, that's the guy. I'd love to know, what's your earliest memory? Where does it all start? And how does that love of this IP just evolve over time and get you to where you are today?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's, I always tell people, it's like one of those things where I was born in 1975. So I always feel like it's very hard for me to have any memories of my childhood that didn't have Star Wars involved in them or aren't tangentially connected to it. So it's kind of always been there, like with the toys and seeing the films, on videotape and cable when it was on. And, but my first like concrete memory was I was in the theater when Empire came out, and I remember watching when Luke crashes on Dagobah and R2 falls off the X-wing, and Luke cries out, R2, where are you? And I scream out, he's in the water, and everyone's like, oh. So like, but that was like my first, like concrete one. But then it's like I just always remember it always being on TV and just playing with the toys and dress up. And it was definitely a huge part of my life. And then I got into Star Trek heavily in high school, but I kind of like went over to the other Star franchise for a little bit. And then when I got like when they did the special edition re-releases and the prequels, I think I came crashing, you know, hardcore back into Star Wars and did the thing where you like, you know, sleep on the sidewalk and for the midnight premieres, you know, yep. episode 1, 2, and 3. And I was at the Ziegfeld in New York City. And it was just some of my favorite memories is just being in that crowd, you know, when those films were coming on and even the special editions with the new special effects and stuff, like being in the crowd, like for the opening nights of those. Is some of my all-time favorite memories. So, it's just always been there. And I'm a huge, huge geek and nerd. And I have like a shelf full of Yodas and lots of action figures. And I actually just got a Millennium Falcon personalized license plate, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
My most prized Star Wars possession is this guy. And I
was going to say,
Christmas.
Like, that is awesome. Is that like a full-on, like, I can't tell if it's three-dimensional or post.
Oh, no, it's
like,
three-dimensional. Yeah, no,
it's awesome.
Yeah, some of my friends got it for me when I moved into this house. And it's bowing a little bit at the bottom because I do need to hang it on the wall again.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But aside from that, we're talking about, I forgot, no one can see. We're talking about my Han Solo that many of you know from my background of my days of streaming. I put Christmas lights on him during Christmas and whatnot, and a Santa hat, but... Han is my most prized set. You can get it on Etsy. It's pretty. It's not too expensive.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Absolutely. So I remember those premieres too. I think the first one I went to was Phantom Menace because I was in high school. I don't remember. I remember going with a bunch of friends, and at that point, I had fallen in love with Return of the Jedi, and that's still to this day. I know everyone loves Empire. Return of the Jedi is my favorite for some reason. I couldn't tell you why, but I had similar memories. I remember everyone dressed up, and it was so intriguing to me. Like, wow, these people are fans.
Yeah.
And for my journey, we've said this 1,000 times, and Tim has a little bit of a different story. My entry point into the super fan was Knights of the Old Republic. Once I played game... It changed my life. Like I started reading novels. I started getting into the comics and things like that. So different journey and not so much the movies, which people find intriguing. And Tim, yours was what? I can't remember.
Yeah, mine was my uncle actually just giving me the original VHS tapes for the original trilogy, which was.
Oh, I love
it. But that's how I got into it. But Kevin brings up an amazing point that I want you because the way you just lit up talking about KOTAR. How do you feel about the KOTAR remaster? Remake being announced.
Remake.
Like, are you excited for that?
Are you asking me or Kevin?
Yeah, Mark, that's for you. For you.
We did a whole episode on this.
KOTAR, so need to know, Mark, how do you feel about the KOTAR remake?
No, I'm super excited. But I was confused about the, like, is it a remaster or are they
it's a remake.
Fully remaking it from the bottom.
Yeah.
They're bringing
That's awesome.
Not all of the voice actors, but some of them. We heard Bastille in the trailer. And they're redoing all their lines, which to me, if we go into the canon, and Tim and I spent 40 minutes talking about this last week, but if we go into the canon conversation, to me, that screams, we're going to change things and make this canon and fit it into the Disney universe, which is super exciting to me.
Yeah.
Especially with having Lucas Games as a publisher for it. Like, and that's going to be like, that's a really, like, we always have, that's the hard part of like, is when things come out that aren't canon, it really confuses viewers. It confuses your audience. So that's why, like, my assumption is that KOTAR is going to be seen as that piece, that missing piece that we haven't had for a long time, which is exciting.
Wow. We have a theory. Awesome. I'm going to run it by you real quick. And if you know things, obviously you don't have to say anything, but Skywalker Saga, current era, that's where we're living with movies and TV shows right now. We know Acolyte is coming, which will be High Republic. High Republic is we're building a universe. We only knew Yoda going in. So we're building this and it's so intriguing to me because they're kind of bending some things that we thought about Star Wars and making some things new, but also keeping it super familiar. So that's going to exist in books and comics and things like that, probably for 2 or 3 years. And then the Old Republic lives in games for a while. Mm. We feel like that's how they can tell the story of each era. And then eventually they'll just muddy the whole pot and start TV shows and games and things like that. That's our theory.
Wow. Yeah. Because Old Republic is before High Republic. Is that right?
Old Republic is about either 1,000 or a couple thousand years. I don't have the timeline off the top of my head. Yeah, somewhere around there.
Because I think High Republic is, I want to say it was like 300 years or 200 years.
Ish, yeah.
Yeah, right about that.
Okay. So that would make sense. Oh, wow. Then that could work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That'd be awesome. Yeah.
that's our theory. But
it definitely made me want to get a PS5. Like that's
100%. You definitely.
You would.
Hopefully there will be enough out by then when KOTAR comes out.
If you can get them. Yeah. I can't get anything yet. I was trying to get my kids the new consoles last year, and I still have not been able to.
There's enough out. The problem is these people with the bots, and they're buying them and reselling. Yeah, that's the issue.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So back to questions about Mark.
Yes.
So you have always been in love with Star Wars. When did you fall in love with the idea of using your voice to tell a story? And it's not just you and I having a conversation. Like you tell a story with your voice. Like you have so many different voices in your catalog. Like when did you find that passion and how did that come about?
I mean, I was kind of a couch potato growing up. So I watched a lot of like cartoons and TV, and I guess I was a bit of a sponge when it came to all that stuff. And I just would kind of like, you know, parrot back things I would hear and listen like that. But my mom kind of had foresight to kind of see that, you know, maybe we could, you know, that you know, you should try acting. You should, you know, like you might really enjoy this. And she was great about kind of signing me up for voice lessons and acting lessons and improv classes and all that stuff, and would, you know, drive me to all those things. And then I had some great teachers in school that got me involved in the, you know, the drama club and the school plays and all that stuff. And it's kind of where I feel like I found, you know, that thing you're good at. You know, like everybody has things that they are maybe naturally bent towards. And I feel like, you know, Miss Ham and Miss Hofstetter and Mr. Frost, like really like, and Mr. Putnam just like really helped me figure out all that stuff. And so, you know, I think early, like even in high school, we did a two-man show where each one of us played 10 different characters. And it was called Greater Tuna. And that was one of the first times where I had to like come up with a bunch of different, distinctly different characters. And on the speech and debate team, we would have humorous interpretation or dramatic interpretation where you would like read excerpts from a play. And I had to kind of mess around with different voices there. So I started kind of getting my feet wet with it there. And I guess it just kind of, you know, one thing led to another, snowballed from there. And you know, in acting school, I got pretty early on, like my sophomore year, I started auditioning for animation stuff and started getting a lot of work in animation. So kind of just all branched off from there. And I just really love it. Like, it's a lot of fun. And it's just, I'm kind of fascinated by, you know, what you can do with your voice and kind of thinking of it as an instrument and, you know, using different parts of your voice or different resonators and things like that. So it's really fun.
I've been spoiled at this point because I started, like Tim said, with Aftermath was where I started. So you were reading Aftermath, and the way you bring the characters to life, I didn't know that was how audiobooks worked. And that's why Tim was like, you have to hear this. Like,
you spoil us. Like you like even like your the books that are done for Star Wars, it's a performance. There's ambient noises in the background that I'd never experienced in any other book that was read on Audible. The idea of just like even just music and helping with the transition from one chapter to the next or like whatever it is, that type of experience is not done, I don't think, anywhere else.
No.
And it makes the Star Wars book so much more special. I mean, heck, even Catalyst was like really special to me because of the background sounds and whatnot. Like in the intro, when they're on the snow planet and they're speeding down the trench, like all of that, like I remember that because I could hear like the speeder going and the snow and the wind. And so like, how much of that were you involved with as far as like just developing the books? Was that your idea? Was that something that like Lucas and like they wanted to do for the Star Wars IP?
Yeah, that's that. None of that is me. That's all Kevin Thompson and Paul Goodrich. Mm-hmm. And Kevin is the director and executive producer, and Paul is the sound designer. And they are just magicians/artists, like geniuses at what they do. And they've done it. They've been doing the audiobooks since way before I got.
I've heard those names a lot.
It. Yeah, and they're like. they're really, really amazing at what they do. And they got access to like the Lucasfilm sound library and get to use the sound effects and a lot of the original music cues and things like that.
That makes sense.
And, yeah. And it really does. You're right. It like, it makes it such a different experience. It's like, it really is like a movie in your mind, you know, like when you have all that ambient sound and it adds so much to it. And I remember like, cause you know, the first audiobook I ever did was a Star Wars audiobook. And I'd never really done audiobooks before that. And so I remember when I got to do another audiobook for a different franchise or a different IP, I was like, you know what, like, do you want me to leave you a pause in this line for like a sound effect for like when they shoot that thing? And the guy was like, what? And I was like, you know, like, so like, you know, I can give you a little breath so that you can put the laser effect in there. It's like, we're not doing sound effects. Like, what are you talking? It's just your voice. And I was like, really? Like, you're not going to put anything? And I was like, so shocked. Cause I just thought that's what you do like that, you know, but that's just all because of Kevin and Paul. And that's just all, you know, and obviously, you know, Lucasfilm, encourages all that and blesses all that. So it's just but it's such a unique and special thing. And if you've never listened to one, I just encourage you to do it for that reason alone, because it's such an experience to have the sound effects and the music and everything laid in there.
So. Yeah, it's the characters, the difference between the characters. So when you have, let's say, a High Republic's best example. Okay, so we have Stellan Geos, and we have, what's his buddy's name? Name is escaping me.
Elzar Mann.
The difference between them, if you don't use inflection in the tone and the accent and everything, you could almost miss it. Yes, one struggles with the dark side a little bit more than the other one.
yeah.
But if it's just lines being read from a book, you don't get that. You bring them to life on a different level because Stellan is so different. I'm trying to think of some of the your Han is great.
Thank you.
Reading Aftermath. But
if we're gonna start gassing him up, your Thrawn, I swear I thought it was the actual voice actor from Rebels. I thought it was Lars Mikkelsen at first.
Right.
And so like, to that point, I want to know, how hard is it to keep your voices straight when you're trying to like do all these different voices? Because like, I've noticed sometimes you kind of like you'll pick and choose from different voices to create a new character. Like for Kevin, Kevin's High Republic is my Thrawn. Like your Thrawn and Thrawn Ascendancy has just been
phenomenal. Thrawn yet though. In my defense,
yeah, that's true.
Yes.
But like Thrawn, you did such a great job bringing those guys to life. I really just enjoyed that that series. And so, like, I've noticed, like, your Admiral Aralandi is, like, very, very similar to other characters I've heard you do. But
but
it's, like, fun. But how do you keep that straight? And then how do you also develop those types of characters? Like, that's, like, you've never heard an Admiral Aralandi before. And, like, geez, he has a very, very unique, like, the way you do your voice is very unique for that one.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. It's definitely a process. It's, like, first, obviously, I have to read the book. So I have to like, you know, read it all the way through, which all my high school teachers are probably laughing their heads off because I never wanted to read the whole book. But I read the whole thing through, and then I go back and like anytime a character speaks, I'll jot down, you know, character's name and then any clues the author gives me about that character. So like, are they human? Are they alien? Are they like, do they have any descriptions of their voice, like husky or thin or raspy or whatever it might be? I write all that stuff down. And then I try to like, see if like, you know, have these, if it's an alien, like has that alien appeared in any Star Wars media? And like, can I find examples of that? And is there a through line there that I should pick up on or, you know? And so then I'll start kind of coming up with like, different ideas and I'll kind of cast it. And what I do is I'll take my phone and I'll like just kind of record different ideas of what I'm thinking. And then when I settle on one, when I get in the booth, I'll play like a little sample of what I recorded just to kind of get myself in the headspace of that character and then kind of go and then do that. So the first couple of days of recording, it's always a little herky jerky because like I have to keep refreshing my memory of who these guys are.
Yeah.
But then around end of day two, beginning of day three, I start to kind of get in a rhythm and can start to kind of flip back and forth a little bit easier. But I definitely give the editors a lot of work because there's a lot of stopping and starting. and sometimes reading the lines as the wrong character, and you know, so like it.
That must be hard, having a conversation with two characters.
Yeah,
jumping back and forth.
Yeah,
yeah, it can be frustrating. And
wow.
And part of my strategy is I try to make them sound as different as possible, so that I'll be able to. Because if they're too similar, then it would. I feel like it would start to bleed together. You know, so yeah. Like I try to make them somewhat distinct and think about, okay, this character is going to have a lot of scenes with that character. So let me make sure I really maybe place them at a higher pitch or a lower pitch, or, you know, give them a distinct accent or something, just to try to really separate them across. And then it's like, the worst is like, you get a character that's very ancillary or very small in one book. And then in the next book, they're like, the stun, I'm like, oh no.
You're stuck with that thing.
Yeah.
I feel like that happened with Stellan, because Stellan was so small in the first book. And then yeah, the last book, he was like,
right. Exactly.
That's
yeah.
Funny.
How long do you spend on average recording for a full novel?
It's basically 10 a.m. to like 6 p.m. for like Monday through Friday for like 5 days. So like, and then,
okay.
Although there's a new book we're doing in a couple of weeks that is going to take 7 days, 'cause it's a huge book, but yeah, it's generally that. And they'll like, you know, get to come out for like food and bathroom and stuff like that. But that's like read, you know? So,
have you ever had an instance where your voice was just not sore throat something, and it just didn't play well and they had to delay everything or something?
I think there was one book where we did redo the first chapter because it was obvious that I had been really sick or like hoarse or something, you know. But there's like, there have been times, there was one time where I was really sick, but we just, because of deadlines, we just had to keep going. And so it kind of like worked for some of the characters because it added some extra scratchiness and whatever, and then other characters it was like, oh, you know. So, but I think ultimately we got through it. So
is your whole family Star Wars fans as well, or are you like the outcast in the family?
No, they're all fans, but I think I'm a bit much. Like, I think I
I know the feelings.
Yep. So like my wife always says, is I thought I was a fan until I met you, and now I don't feel like a fan because like compared to you, like it's like a little, like we had a minor argument over a thing I wanted to put on the car. That she was like, no, I don't want to do that. I'm like, oh, all right. Like, I had to take my Chewbacca seatbelt cover off. It's like, I'm not driving around with that thing. It's hot. It's scratchy. It's like, all right.
My oldest daughter, she was supposed to. So my youngest son built his lightsaber first, because obviously we're an hour from Orlando.
Oh,
I put the sacrifice on the table. Like, I was like, all right, let him do it first. I'll go after him.
What a great dad.
He went in January of 2020. So right before everything changed, he got to build his lightsaber. Then my oldest daughter was supposed to do hers in April. And we had to cancel our trip. So I ended up going without them and built my own lightsaber. Like right after it felt okay to go out of lockdown,
masks
on, whatever. I went and built mine. My oldest daughter was so upset with me. She was Dad. How could you? So, what was it? 2 months ago now, Tim? I took her as a makeup, and my wife and my two other kids were like, you go have fun. We're going to sit by the pool, just you and your daughter.
Yeah.
And she hadn't been yet, so she hadn't seen the Falcon or anything. And this is when you knew you had raised a good nerd.
Yes.
Rounding the corner, and she sees the Falcon. She's like, oh, Dad. And she like almost stumbled and put her hand on my shoulder like, Dad, it's real. I'm like, I know, it's right there. I might cry again. Then we go build her lightsaber, and she just keeps turning around and looking at me the whole time. She's like,
oh, that's
we get
great.
Out. Here's the uber nerd part. We get out. She goes, all right, I built it green. I was like, yeah, it's great. She goes, we got to go to the store. I got to get the yellow one. Like, Ray. And I'm like, you're going to make me spend more money on the crystal. She's like, yeah, you get the white one. You love Ahsoka. You go get the white one, too. So we went and we swapped out the colors. And then we're at home with screwdrivers, putting the new ones in. So that was when I realized, like, I got a good nerdy older daughter. So I was
you succeeded. You did parenting right.
I did. She's almost through Clone Wars now, too. So
awesome.
We're doing it right. When you mentioned animated earlier, is it Star Wars, or you're just doing other animated stuff, like anything we would know, for instance?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like my first job was this cartoon called Daria. It was on MTV and it was like a spinoff of Beavis and Butthead. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was like Kevin, the football player. All right, babe. Cool.
Oh, my God.
And I was Mr. DiMartino. Daria Morgendorfer. Like the guy with the big eye.
And I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that was my big thing, my initial thing. And then that kind of snowballed, like, 'cause once you start working in that field,
right?
If people like you, they recommend, it's like any other field, I assume. So like, yep. But like I started working on Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh. I did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I recently did Transformers Cyberverse. And so I've gotten to do a bunch of cartoons and animations and things like that. So it's been really fun. So,
okay. So I'm just going to have to ask, because this is a question that's always in the back of my mind whenever, like, listening to you or, you know, listening to like your favorite voice actor when it comes to a cartoon. How does someone get into it? If someone listening right now is like, I'd like to try this out, what do they do?
Well, it's constantly changing. I mean, the way people get into it now is so different than how I got into it. Because like the first thing I did is like, back in my day, there was no internet. So I had like, there was like a cork board and somebody had literally posted a flyer on a cork board. And the audition was like, leave a voicemail on this answering machine and then we'll call you in. So that's, it's crazy. So, but now it's like, there's websites that you can go to that will, you know, you put your demos up on the website and then you can, like, people like your demo, they'll ask you to audition. So there's lots of different ways nowadays you could do it. Like people do fan dubs on YouTube and then sometimes they get discovered that way. So there's no real one path. I think, you know, speaking of Star Wars, D. Bradley Baker has this great website called, I think it's iwanttobeavoiceactor.com, I believe is what it is. And he does a way better job than I ever could of just talking about, like, here's how you get a demo reel together. Here's how you try to get an agent. Here's what kind of equipment you might want to use, you know? So, you know, but the short answer is, so I would go to that website is iwanttobeavoiceactor.com and that would give you all the answers. But the short answer is I would just get like a 1 minute demo together of you doing, if you do character voices, doing your character voices. If you just have a unique voice that's really cool, just record yourself reading some copy or, you know, and you would get like a demo together for commercials. You get a demo together for animation. You get a demo together for audiobooks. And then just, you know, either on your own website or there's lots of other websites you can host it on and just try it out, you know, and like the cool thing about now is that so many people have access because of technology and because of the internet. The downside of that is that you do like have to then compete with
everybody
in the world. So it's a little bit harder to break through initially, but if you do, and if you have a unique voice or a bunch of, like, the way I kind of broke in is I got good at doing lots of different voices. Yeah. So I'm like I'm like a utility guy where a lot of times they'll hire me to do a bunch of different characters that mm-hmm. have like smaller scenes. And, you know, I don't get the voice of, like, you know, Honda or, or like Allstate or anything like that. But I could do a bunch of different character voices and I've kind of been able to carve out a path that way. So
that's so awesome.
Yeah. So, but there's lots of ways to do it. And if you're passionate about it, you know, go for it and just give it a try.
So you're brought into a project, let's say, and they'll say, okay, we want you to do these four voices for these four characters. Here's their background. And then you have to develop that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's awesome.
Which is why, like you said, you were two people in Daria.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or it's like they'll have the auditions for all the characters and I'll read them and they'll say, wait a minute, we like him for this one, and this one. And we only have to pay him for the hour to do all four. So like, let's do that kind of stuff.
We interviewed a few months, probably last year. I don't remember.
It was last year, Kevin. It was during quarantine.
Jeez, it's all a blur. we interviewed Kyle A. Bear, who has worked on and I don't watch anime, so I don't. Tim could.
He was on Dragon Ball.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So it's funny you mentioned D. Bradley Baker because he mentioned that, and then we were talking about, you know, trying to run some voice acting through our business, and they were like, "Oh, you should talk to go to the D. Bradley Baker website." And
yeah,
everything you just said, I'm like, man, I keep hearing this over and over again.
It's just so thorough, and I think he just knew that. He was getting asked that a lot, but it really is a great resource. It's awesome.
Cool. So if you're out there and aspiring to be a voice actor, there you go. Free knowledge from Star Wars and Scotch.
So you have been a Star Wars fan for a long time. You've been involved in all of it. It feels like you've been involved in all of Star Wars. Who is your favorite Star Wars character?
Oh man. I mean, my favorite is Yoda. Like,
really?
I mean, yeah, like Yoda is my I have a Yoda tattoo. I have I don't know if you can see it on here or not, but like,
there he is.
An angle, but yeah. But, like he, like so a big part of why I love Star Wars so much is there's a spirituality to it. And there's like, like the idea that, you know, the Force is something that binds us all together and you can't see it, but it's there and it's acting in our lives. And, you know, so like that, those messages really mean a lot to me personally. And Yoda was kind of like this amazing embodiment of it, like just all the stuff in Empire and like, you know, to not like, there's so many like great, you know, amazing lessons just in the scenes with him and Luke on Dagobah, and just to not judge a book by its cover and, you know, and to, you know, and not, you know, judge things like by what, how they appear, but, you know, and just, and tapping into this power. And so there's just, I just felt like those, like watching Mark Hamill and Frank Oz portray those scenes, they were just, I just bought into those scenes so much. And I just love him so much. I think it's like, that's not a puppet to me. Like that's a real being.
I love that. Yeah, you're really the first cool, person to say Yoda. Everyone always like, you always get like the Darth Maul or the Mace Windu or Luke or Vader, but like, yeah, that's I love that.
Do you did you get choked up when Yoda came back when Luke on Octo? Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, as soon as the camera panned and you saw the ears, I was like, ooh.
Yeah. There was a few things in those movies that really brought that nostalgia back in a good way, you know, regardless of what people think. Tim and I are very pragmatic when it comes to the new trilogy.
Okay, yeah.
I'll call a spade, but I do think people completely overreact on a lot of what was in those movies.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the trailer for was it Rise of Skywalker and the Millennium Falcon with Lando in it. I got all teary eyed because I'm Lando's biggest smile on his face, and it's like, you know, that's not Lando. That's Billy Dee Williams getting to be in the Falcon one last time
with Chewie
next to him. I'm just like, this is the kid in me is screaming right now. He's so happy. I'm sure seeing Yoda again for you was like,
oh man,
that just,
it was amazing. Yeah, because like I understand a lot of the criticisms people have
of course.
The new sequel and you know, especially maybe seeing how Luke was handled, and people like I think people are seeing how he's being portrayed in Mandalorian and kind of wanted Last Jedi to be more of that. And I totally get that and totally understand that. But that scene with Yoda for me completely changed how I was feeling about Luke in Last Jedi, because that line of, you know, failure, the greatest teacher is like, well, you know, like, and it's like, there's something about that like all made it make sense to me, and like kind of like you know, and made it like, and then obviously the scene on Crait was just like so cool that like, you know, to me that was that level of like Luke in the hallway in Mandalorian, is because it's like he's that powerful that he's project, like no way, you know. But there was like I don't know, like after thinking about it more in that scene with Yoda, there was something about how, you know, I'm a middle-aged guy now. And I have maybe some regrets or feelings of failure or feelings like I've made mistakes in my life. And to think about the idea, like that scene was like what I needed to hear as a middle-aged man. Like I needed to hear that, you know, like, you know, you can learn from your failures. You can pass on the lessons you've learned to others, and you need to do that. And it doesn't mean that you should just go away and hide. You need to still be out there and trying to help and do the right thing. And so I don't know. I just, you know, I totally get why people maybe don't like those, but that Yoda scene changed it all for me.
I love that it speaks to you on a personal level, because yeah. not many people are willing to admit that. I don't know why. you know, my two favorite IPs, Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, and there's things in both of them that hit me personally. Yeah. You know, I've always, not going too far off topic, but I've always related to Aragorn personally watching Lord of the Rings and the journey of, you know, everything he went through. And if you read his backstory even further, it's even more, you know, daunting and crazy. But and then I look at Star Wars, and Anakin is a character that I just look at and you know, and I love diving into the comics then too, because you see all the heinous, terrible things that he does as Darth Vader.
Yeah.
But you also see these glimmer of things that, you know, Anakin is still in there. You know, it's not Vader. Yeah. So when Clone Wars ended, and they showed the final scene of him picking up Ahsoka's lightsaber, it hit me hard because I knew, and Tim knows, because I will never shut up about the fight between him and Ahsoka in Clone Wars. Or was that Rebels? That's Rebels.
Yeah,
I never shut up, because I think that is one of the greatest moments in Star Wars history. The only thing it was missing was when she knocks his helmet off, is him going like snips really quick and briefly back. But to me, you know, I relate to Anakin big time, like that, that internal turmoil and struggle and going through life, having to deal with, you know, ups and downs like that. Yeah. I hear you. And it's refreshing to hear someone say, you know, I relate to it on a personal level, because, and I think,
yeah,
entertainment, especially storytelling like this, I think people need to have those conversations. I think the world would be a very different place if we did. But it's very refreshing to hear. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we're going to ask the forbidden question. Which one's your favorite movie?
I mean, it's Empire. Like, it's not a very original choice, but I genuinely love it. Like, I just, that movie is pretty important to me. So it's great.
Was it, which one was the first one that you saw? I think you said the beginning.
Empire. The first time in the theater. Yeah.
For me, it was Return of the Jedi. So I remember the braiding on my aunt's carpet, sitting and watching it on her tube TV while he was standing up to the Emperor vividly. Of the newer movies, so let's say new trilogy, Solo, Rogue One, which one's your favorite in all of those ones?
I think I'm going to go, I know, and this might be controversial, but I think I'm going to go with Force Awakens. Like, because there was something about the build up to that one for me personally, and just having wanted a new Star Wars movie for so long. And then I know a lot of people felt like it was too similar to, like, you know, New Hope, or just kind of reductive, you know, or derivative of it. But, like, I don't know, like, I kind of liked the blend of nostalgia and, like, and the newness, and I really love that one. And I think that was the one I just had the most fun in the theater of the three, and just really got the most excited by.
So when you read that book, did you read it before the movie came out?
Okay, so yeah.
Good question.
So the only reason why I bring this up is because multiple times I've told Kevin that that book does a better job of explaining Rey's fight with Kylo than the movie ever will, because the entire time of her, like, feeling like she dances with the dark side, she gets mad, she gets angry, she uses that power to fight Kylo. And so, like, that's captured really well in the book. So what was that like? Did you know?
Yeah, so, okay, this is crazy, because, like, Kevin, the director, called me up, and he was like, I'm going to ask you a question, but I want you to really think about it, because, you know, because he knew what a fan I was and what a geek I was, and I want you to get back to me. So he's like, if I were to offer you the novelization of Force Awakens, would you want to do it? And I was, because at that point they were going to record that book before the movie came out, and then try to release it day of release when the movie came out.
Okay.
So I was like, oh wow. And then so, like, I actually did have to think about it, because I was like, I've been reading, you know,
a long time.
What was it? You know, 30 years. I don't remember how many years it was, or, you know, like, but a long time for a new Star Wars movie. And I was dying to see it in the theater opening night and have that experience of, you know, what's going to happen. And so there was a moment where I was like, do I want to do this? Like, I don't know. Cause that I won't have that experience. And I was kind of confiding in my wife about it. And I was like, should I do it? Like, I don't like opening night won't be the same. And what do you think? And she was like, of course you should do it. Like, why would you not do it? And I was like, oh, right. And she was like, if you were cast in the film and got to act in the film, wouldn't you do that? Or would you say, no, I don't want spoilers. And she was like, and I was like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I would want to be in the, so then I read it like in, I think I read the scripts end of October, early November, and it was going to come out in December. And like for that one, like they locked me in a room. They disconnected all the computers from the internet. If I had to go to the bathroom, I had to call someone. They would come get me, escort me to the bathroom, lock the door behind me. Then I'd come back and open up again. Wow. And, you know, so I'm sitting there reading it, and I'm like reading about all these things and the point where, you know, Han Solo dies. So I'm like crying in a room by myself. And, you know, and then I can't talk about it with anyone for like 2 months. And I'm like, wow. Oh,
and no. This is just reading it. This is not even performing yet. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And like reading it, I'm like, oh, the lightsaber's wiggling. Is it going to be Luke? Is it going to be Luke? And then it goes to Rey. And I was like, Rey, no way. You know, and like, so it's like, so it's just all those moments. So then what became fun about being in the opening night of that one was it was definitely all the hype and I wanted to see the special effects, but it was also like, then I kind of like, instead of having total focus on the screen, I had one eye on the screen and then one eye like next to me looking at the people, because I knew the moments when they were about to happen.
Yeah.
So I got to like kind of see everybody's reactions. So that was like a fun, different thing. So, but then after that, like Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker, they decided to release the books after the films came out. Yeah. So I got to see those firsthand in the theater and then kind of very shortly afterward. But I have to say, and this isn't just a plug for the books, but you know, like what Tim was saying, like there is something about reading the novelizations of those films that helped me appreciate them in a deeper way. Cause I think there were, you know, the nature of those films is they move at a really quick pace and sometimes there's things that you would want them to explain, but because they're trying to like, just keep it going and keep it moving, it maybe skips over some things. And in the books, you really get a deeper understanding of motivations and more detail about, you know, what the Emperor's plan was and how Rey maybe got her force powers as quickly as she did. And the complaint that she's a Mary Sue, like the books make a lot more sense in my opinion. And, and so I don't know, like that may affect why I like the sequel films maybe, you know, and why some people might not as much, but so I get everyone's opinion and everyone's entitled to their opinion, but if you were interested, the novelizations might make people out there listening, maybe see the sequels in a new way.
They're really fun. Even like Chewie ripping Unkar's arms off.
Oh yeah.
That was so cool. And I was like, that never happened in the movie. Why did they put it in there? And then come to find out it's a deleted scene. It was never finished, but it's there. And I just love that because like there's like so much ferocity to Chewie that they never show on the show or on the movie.
Yeah, so. Totally.
Yeah, love I was it. Telling Tim when I finished the second Aftermath book, you reading that, it didn't change, but it really solidified Han and Chewie's relationship for me because I didn't know that all of that happened canon. I know the legend stuff, but reading it and hearing the way you were talking about it, like, the relationship between Han and Chewie goes so much deeper than people know in the movies. Yeah. And when you get into the comic books and you get into the novels, something like that can change your entire perception of how you view the movie.
100%.
So when you look at these movies, and Tim and I say this all the time, like Star Wars is told in pieces. That's how the story is told to you. You don't get this straight line, you know, like you get with most other IPs. It's similar to the way the Marvel movies released where it was, you know, we went back in time for Captain Marvel, but then we went back forward because we knew she was at the end of the. So it's similar to that. But Star Wars has always told stories fragmented and in pieces. So who's to say that in 10 to 15 years, those three movies all of a sudden make way more sense?
Wow.
Because even the original trilogy was so much better when you dove into Legends.
Uh-huh.
You know, dealing with Luke's turn to the dark side in Legends and things like that. I have a feeling that in 15 years, we're going to look back and we're going to have a much, much more visual content, which will complement it.
Yeah.
Similar to our experience, like you said, with Luke and Mandalorian. I have a feeling we're going to look back and it's just going to be this complete picture. We're going to be like, wow, those movies are great now.
No, totally. Yeah. So. I think, I mean, it was weird when the prequels came out. Like, I'm one of those guys that's easy to please. So I actually love all of the films and all the shows. Like I'm, you know, I have favorites and ones where I wish they had done that differently. But generally speaking, I love them all. But like, even when people, you know, when the prequels first came out and were bashing the prequels and like saying all these horrible things, it's so funny to me now to see how many people like adore the prequels and love. And I think it's a lot of what, you know, Kevin, you're saying, because like, when you watch Clone Wars now, or the comics, or some of the things that have filled in some of the gaps, I think it has like enhanced how people remember those films. And there's also the nostalgia of like whenever you see it as a kid or see something for the first time, I think it imprints on you differently than when you've or a jaded adult like me.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Kind of going back to where we started, video games. Do you have a favorite Star Wars video game?
Oh, cool question. I think the first one that popped in my mind was Force Unleashed. Like, I actually really love the Force Unleashed games. Although Jedi Fallen Order was almost tied for me. Like, I really loved that. So, like, yeah, like I think those two I really like. But Force Unleashed, I was like, really, really into it, and like loved Sam Witwer's performance in those, and was totally drawn into that story. So
we did a charity event with Katie Sackhoff. Produced it, and she brought Sam on, and they had to hit a certain milestone for him to do Kenobi. And when we hit it, I was like, record at my desk at my computer. I was like, all right, let's do this. Give it to me.
Is awesome.
No, Force Unleashed. I've read that they're gonna try and canonize the character of Starkiller. So. Yeah,
he got so excited. I love it.
Oh man, what if he popped up in the sequel to Fallen Order? Because like, that would be interesting.
So the last episode, I forget the name of the planet. We covered it in our last episode, but the last episode of Bad Batch, that cloning facility, like kicks the door down for 1,000 theories.
Oh, right.
So because that cloning facility is in Legends, and now people are, I'm sure you've seen it, the Luke being a clone theory.
Yeah. Right, I wanted to bring that up because you said Empire was your favorite movie. and so we like to do some theory crafting on this podcast. And so Luke loses his hand, right? Falls to the bottom of Bespin.
Yes.
Apparently in Legends, the Emperor ends up with Luke's hand.
Yep.
And that hand goes and he gets cloned. The theory is that the true Luke was not the Luke that we had in the new trilogy.
Oh my gosh.
How crazy is that?
Oh my gosh. Wait, are they saying that then the Luke we're seeing in Mandalorian is the true Luke and the Luke that we saw in the trilogy is Luke or the clone Luke?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And the plot thickens because Maz is lying to Rey when she says that's a story for another day about the lightsaber.
Right.
But then how did the lightsaber get separated from the hand? But then that was easily debunked on Reddit, Tim, because someone said it fell and they probably fell out of separated. His
hand. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so the theory is interesting.
Did they do anything in the comics?
They cloned Luke in the comics, at one point. He had to fight himself.
But in the new canon comics, did they do anything with the lightsaber yet? Or like
knows how she got it. No one knows yet.
Gosh. Oh my God. I hadn't heard that theory. That would be amazing.
Yeah. This is what I love about Star Wars fans is they start to you give them a crumb of something.
Right.
And it turns into this thing. And that's what I love.
But that would be, I would actually be okay with that, I think.
I would too.
Yeah, I'd be fine with it.
Yep.
And especially if we went back and saw like another version of older Luke, because then you could have your cake and eat it too. Because like if you liked what they did in the sequel trilogy, that story still exists and it's technically still choices Luke would have made.
Right.
Yeah.
But then it's like it doesn't, because I hate it when people say they're going to erase the trilogy, because they're not going to do that. No, that's ridiculous.
No way.
But this would be a way where you could maybe have a different path for Luke and have both of those stories coexist in a very logical way.
It's like, essentially Lucas creating their own multiverse, like what Marvel
the clone.
It's just instead of making a bunch of different layers, we're just making a bunch of different people.
Clones.
And it honors the Legends book. Again, yeah. It honors like Heir of the Empire and all those. Oh my gosh.
It has to have some relevance or truth, because Bad Batch is leaning into the story of the Kaminoans and clones so much.
Very heavy.
And it's a bridge story. It's getting us somewhere. So then you loop back to, you know, the Emperor's bodies, the countless bodies that haven't been able to contain his essence.
Right.
You know, so maybe that's why they wanted Grogu, because they were trying to figure out a way to have midichlorians and a clone so the Emperor could have a body, which is my theory of what we saw in Mandalorian in those tubes where they were like, what's in there? And then we got camera had to pan away.
Right.
So I they're building something. We just we probably won't know what it is for a while.
Oh, my gosh. Well, because I assumed it was leading. I assumed it was connecting the dots to Palpatine having the clone backup plan.
Yeah.
And Rise of Skywalker. But I had not heard or considered the idea of Luke.
I have your email. I'll send you the TikTok video that explains it. It's pretty jarring.
Oh my gosh.
We're running low on.
we're gonna have you back on to talk more Star Wars theories.
Yeah.
we're running low on time, and I do want to get Mark out on time, but my last question for you is, you talked about Yoda, and again, get a little personal. What is the most impactful thing that you took away from Star Wars as a whole, from anything, movies, being a part of the universe? It doesn't have to be in universe, but what's the impact that Star Wars has had on Mark that has really just left that imprint on you for forever?
Yeah. I would say that... I'm trying not to sound too cheesy.
Too cheesy.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. So I actually ended up, I ended up becoming a minister, and I was a minister in my church for a while. And so I think the biggest thing that imprinted on me is the idea that there is a battle between light and darkness, and each one of us has to fight that battle inside of us, because each one of us has the potential to go towards the dark or to go towards the light. And each one of us can sometimes make decisions that go towards the darkness, but it's never too late to come back into the light. And I just think that, like, that concept of good and evil, and that struggle that we all have to wrestle with. And, you know, just seeing, like, you know, Luke decide that, no, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to throw the lightsaber away. It's like, I'm not do this. I'm a Jedi like my father before me, or, like, you know, and just the message of trusting in the Force, and, like, you know, drawing strength from the greater power. All that stuff is just kind of, I really believe it helped shape who I try to be today. Like, I really, like, I know it's just a movie, and I know it's, you know, it's just fun adventure, but, like, I really feel like it kind of helped contribute to kind of my moral compass and, like, how I try to, you know, live my life. So as corny as that might seem, it's really cool.
It really doesn't. I love that.
I love that so much.
Yeah, I love that that's your takeaway from it. I think that's incredible. Tim, do you have any one last question for Mark?
I can't ask him more questions after that. That was perfect. that's the best way to end it, Kevin.
I'm going to ask for one more thing. If you had to pick one character to do the voice, could you send us off from this wonderful, amazing interview with that in that character's voice?
All right. Listening to Star Wars and Scott, you are. Do or do not. There is no try.
Thank you, Mark. Plug whatever you'd like to plug, and we're gonna get out of here, but thank you so much.
Oh yeah. Well, no, it's been really fun talking to you guys. I can tell you guys love Star Wars, so it's really fun to hang out with dudes who like it the way I like it. So but I mean, a couple things that just came out is Tempest Runner. It's an audio drama, High Republic audio drama, just came out. And that one is multiple actors, and it's really great. You should definitely check it out. It's about Lorna D. It's really, really fun. A lot of the fans were asking for unabridged versions of some of the older Legends books, because they used to only do abridged versions of those audiobooks. So we just redid Rogue Squadron. I think that just came out, and that's really cool, because there's going to be a Rogue Squadron movie coming out in 2023, I think. So this will kind of give you some samples of what the books were kind of like when they were telling that story. And that was really fun to do. And then I'm pretty sure I'm allowed to say this, but I think it's already on Amazon, but the third book and the Ascendancy trilogy for the Thrawn books. The new Thrawn stories will be coming out, I believe, in November. So that's pretty exciting stuff. So
you need to finish Rising Storm, Tim, because then you can.
I know. I got I got caught up, but I'm
and
so
the High Republic
the
is
one.
Like going full steam ahead. And it's Rising Storm just came out, and it's the High Republic is awesome. I really love the High Republic.
Mark, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate you coming on the show, and hopefully we'll have you back in the soon, and we'll just nerd out again, because that was fun.
Yeah, that'd be great.
This was so much fun. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
What a fun conversation. You know, it always warms my heart to get to talk to someone about Star Wars. I love when we can have that personal conversation about how Star Wars had this impact on your life. It's my favorite thing, and you know. Some booze in a campfire would have been ideal for a conversation like that. Also, an extra 2 hours. But either way, awesome conversation. Thanks again, Mark, for joining us on Star Wars and Scotch. Before we go, make sure you head over to High Score Tees, highscoretees.com. Go pick up some merch from some of the best streamers in the industry and some of the best looking merch in the industry. If not the best, I think it's the best, but I'm biased. So you know how that is. We'll see you next week for episode 54 of Star Wars and Scotch. In the meantime, as always, may the Force be with you.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.